Good morning, Micah Wizards of the World. Fucking A, dude. I'm stoked to be back, and I'm stoked to bring you all a second episode. It's kind of the first time ever we've done a second episode with a single guest, but sometimes it calls for it. So today we've got Neil Brent from Columbia Mushrooms again. Fuck, I think it was like maybe 2-3 years in between the recordings. Quite a radically different sort of time period for both of us at Cap and Stem, at Columbia Mushrooms, at Micah Wizards in general. So on our West Coast tour, Mike and I tore up from KM Mushrooms on our way to Roger Rabbit's and swung in to spend the day with Neil and see his spot in full-on operation. And it was a trip, man. Neil is so funny. You talk to him on the phone, and Kyle, myself, Eric from New Hampshire Mushroom Company, and a bunch of other people, Corey Nielsen, we all have these like Neilisms where we're like, he's always fucking shaking bags when he calls me. He's always on this tractor when he's calling me. He's always taking a shit, whatever it is. Neil seems to have a pattern for when he calls everybody. And dude, thank you, Neil, for being the person who actually tries to keep people on the phone chatting about stuff. In this digital age, we're, you know, perpetually hard to get a hold of. And Neil is that one person who just won't stop. And he'll give you all the shit in the world when you finally pick your phone up. So I'm sorry I haven't called you back, Neil. But I'll call you after I finish recording this intro to your episode. I feel like I got a little bit of the real Neil sitting down with him in person. The first episode was great, man. It was all Neil being positive and, like, you know, all inclusive and whatever. This one, he gets a little spicy. It could be the fucking wine hangover. I don't know. But regardless, it was a blast to spend some time out there in the Columbia River area. And, man, fucking Oregon is insane. Washington's great. California's whatever. Ooh, snow falling off the roof. If you heard that. But Oregon is just unrelenting beauty. It is so fucking rad. I totally get why people get out there and then stay out there. So besides the trash burning, you know, it's a pretty rad place to start up a mushroom farm. Man, what was Neil up to while we were out there? He was just kind of cracking the code on side cutting maitake. And we talk about it a bit in this episode, I think, as you get to this kind of funny pinpoint of time where Japan was checking in on these side cut maitakes through Kyle Garoni at Far West Fungi. And I think Neil's, you know, rightfully so, he's the maitake master. So, in all honesty, any of y'all listening to this, if you want to know shit about maitake, just give Neil a call. Or don't give him a call. Just think about him. And he's like a fucking targeted ad on Instagram. He will find you. And he'll pick a point in his day to call you every day and remind you what an asshole you are for not calling him back. But he's right, you know. There's got to be more emphasis on communication, folks. So I support Neil and all of his insanity and all of his ingenuity. He's a fucking hard-headed son of a bitch, man. I love it. Everything he does is just like trying to find these intricate, strange ways to automate or alleviate some form of labor. And his farm has gone through these radical shifts over time, and he's still slaying it with his shipping container grow rooms and his like fucking shed lab where he like takes his pasteurized blocks by a tractor in the middle of winter, the middle of summer, and drops them across a fucking dusty plain. Oh man, there's so many things I love about Neil's setup and so many things that I just would not want to deal with, but I give him credit, man. He fucking slays. And the quality of the mushrooms that he's putting out is unreal. So if you're in the Columbia River area, hit him up. If you are looking for fresh mushrooms in that area, hit him up, you know. I would just say swing by his farm because I'm going to be that asshole. Knock on his door, his chicken barn, you know, say what's up, or don't. Maybe you should call them first. I don't know. Anyways, I really appreciate being able to get out there and record with a favorite mushroom farmer of mine a second time. I think it kind of bridges a funny time gap. And 2020 to now is just a serious time gap. So a lot happened in between that I'm sure we didn't cover. But, you know, if you guys like this episode enough, maybe we'll just fucking do it a third time. I know Neil would be into it. All right. Fuck, what else am I supposed to say for these intros, man? I got to get better at this. I got to get back to it. I used to, like, have this, you know, like, thing I'd write up every time, and then I'd precariously record and re-record and get everything right. But, you know, who the fuck wants that? Automatic bullshit, man. You want to get me right where I am right here, staring out a window in fucking freezing cold China, Maine, staring out at the snow that we didn't want, thinking about better times, hiking fucking mountains with Roger Rabbit and Mike Vance after and before seeing fucking good old Neil. So that's what we're doing. We're just rambling. Man, we got some cool stuff happening over at MicahWizards.com. I'm actually really stoked about some of these things we've been filming. Fucking Daniel and Mike are on a hot streak of editing and filming and figuring out all this stuff. So we're about to dip into like how to make a pneumatic bagger for your mixer using Unistrut and and threaded rod and all that good stuff. A little bit of welding action. God, we're doing DNA extraction, dedikeratization protocols. Fuck, we're going all over the place, man. So head on over there and check it out. Sign up, join our culture club, get a culture in the mail every month. So many people have been like, why don't you just send out liquid cultures? Well, until this very moment, I was pretty adamant against liquid cultures, but it might be something that we incorporate into this madness. So take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. All right. Anyways, that's all I'm going to say on that matter right now. All right, I gotta go drink a beer. I'm exhausted. Have a wonderful day, people, and we will see you next time. Later. Just trying to get extra pervy for Neil. Hell yeah.
I just heard clap.
All right, we're on. We're on with Neil. No. who do you want to talk shit on first, Neil?
Oh,
no.
God.
Here's the mic. Cheers, bud. Okay, so no, when was the last time we recorded? That was, you were like the third or fourth episode maybe, right?
That was,
it was right before the pandemic?
It was during the pandemic. Okay. It was like the week of Christmas or something, because like in the middle of the recording.
Yeah.
The fire department does
this. Oh, yeah, put that up there. Yeah,
sorry. Do I need this closer?
Yeah, it's stupid, I know.
All right, so like in the middle of the recording, I'm just like chugging beers, hanging out in the bedroom or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, what the fuck is that? Cause like, all you hear is like all of these like sirens going on. I was like, somebody died. I look outside and it's like the Christmas like parade thing that they do where they take all of like the ambulances and fire trucks and like make them all Christmassy.
Yeah.
But because it was the pandemic, normally it stays to like a small part of town. They were driving everywhere. Like, really? They went down our road. People were like, oh my God, Christmas.
What's I'm
like,
happening?
Yeah.
So you just thought it was like an emergency and it was like Christmas parade.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't remember that.
I do, because I was like cracking another beer and I was like, I was like, what is that?
That's hilarious. Okay, so at that time, you had how many employees?
Fuck, like seven.
It was like seven employees.
Full time.
This is like before you canned everybody and you were like, start over.
Yeah, so like we went through like this whole time period where like when Kiara moved in, all of those blocks that are out there and those containers were in the living room.
Correct, right.
And then we utilized some of like the funding with an American company to get more containers to move the stuff out of the house, because the way it was is that we were inoculating the lab, bringing them into the house, and it's like people were in the house like all goddamn day.
I remember you saying it was like keeping your fucking living room warm.
Yeah. That first winter where we didn't have them, Kiara's like, it's kind of cold in here. Should we put blocks back in?
No.
It was so much work getting them out. But like what was nuts about it was like, like we had all these blocks in here. Like literally it's like the door open, close, bringing blocks and putting them on racks, like taking them out, putting them in the van, driving them over, carrying them in. So yeah. We need a lot of people because it's extremely manual.
Right.
So like we're kind of making a push for like, how do we make it so that it's less manual and, you know, we can like not have to do it with as much work, even with the same amount of people.
Right.
And when we got these containers and built them out for incubation, which I was only going to do two, Kiara told me to do three. And I was like, that's dumb. And then like, I'm building out the two and I was like, I'm going to make the third one an incubation room.
So you did not know you were going to turn those into incubation rooms initially.
No, two were going to be fruiting. We're going to have four fruiting and two incubation. Cause like we're doing a lot of oysters back then, but then like with the pandemic, it was like, nobody's buying shit.
Right, right.
So we might as well do stuff that takes a long time.
Right, right.
And then you realize, like, I need a lot more space to incubate because, like, this isn't Oyster Town.
It's not one-to-one. Can't just turn and burn them. Yeah.
So did that. It took a while to actually figure out how we're going to modify the hundreds of Metro shelves that I already own. Well, like, that's the thing, dude. It's like, you already invested the money. You're like, you might as well, like, figure out how to use it.
Right, right.
I can tell you a lot about casters.
Dude, casters are the game. Like, if you figure it out from steam box all the way on through to, like, fruiting shelves, I feel like you've tapped some weird thing, but you're also a moron for even attempting, you know? It's fucking crazy. How many casters, like, do you have? Graveyards of casters?
Yeah, we shouldn't talk about it. I didn't show that to you.
That was the hidden part behind the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Got nothing on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No little doodads.
Okay, but, so that's all right. On. They're, yeah, at least they're recording on here.
Yeah, it looks like you're...
Oh, yeah, they're on there. Now see that is. And that? That wasn't before?
It was asleep.
Oh, it just, it darkens. The it screen darkens. Asleep? Yep, you'll be fine. I know, it's scary. Because the other ones we set do not go to sleep. So if you ever want to find out, just like tap on it. Yes.
Right, from the beginning.
From the beginning. From the top. Yeah, yeah. No, so, okay. So yeah, you're building out these sort of like adaptations to the farm.
Yeah, because like, dude, when I got here, it's like we had this building. It was like a shell. It was built like every, I don't know if you noticed when I took you upstairs, but no, there's no second story. It's
right.
It's like a partial story. I don't know why they built it like that, but like.
There's stuff in hay up there. It was like originally an animal barn, right?
Yeah, it was an animal barn and hay lofts. And then like he had a sick axe collection.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he took that. I was hoping it would stay. I was like, there's some sick axes.
Some good stuff.
But yeah, like trying to figure out how to use a space, which was like a lot of space, but like mushroom farming is not a two-story kind of business.
No.
I think anybody out there who wants to get a warehouse, I'm looking directly at the camera for this, a warehouse with an upstairs and think that the upstairs is worth anything, it's not.
It's bullshit. Unless it's like peaked to the point at which you can fit so much insulation in there that you can actually turn it into like a preconditioning space. There's a possibility there. Maybe. Yeah.
But like it's not utilizable space for like incubating, fruiting.
Oh, fuck no.
Bringing blocks up and down is like, that just makes no sense.
No.
So yeah, it was kind of like we were going for like an expansion contraction kind of thing. Where it was like, we need a lot of hands on deck. It's like the pandemic, like a lot of people needed work. We were like, the farmers markets were killing it. I've never seen farmers markets so good. So we needed people for farmers markets, but they needed full-time work. So like we had to find other things for them to do and then like do more blocks. We were selling a ton of blocks at that time too.
Yeah, just to farms locally?
Yeah, because they were all like farmers marketing and whatever.
They're cranking.
Yeah, and so basically it was like, that was kind of the deal. But then like, you know, it's like as we added in these steps that really took out like a lot of manual labor, it's like, one, we needed less people. And then like 2021, 2022, everybody got ornery because they're just like, I don't know, I think everybody was just tired and fed up with just
everything. Mean, we had an employee at our firm that like tried to not stage a coup, but he was like, dude, why don't we all just leave and go on unemployment? And the whole crew was like, because what would we do after? Like, some people just didn't see an end to it, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is our great escape. You're like, all right, wrong person I've hired.
I mean, yeah, we had somebody who left. and quit with an email. And got onto unemployment. And when they realized that she wasn't supposed to receive it, they tried to get me to pay for it.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm not required to.
And I also didn't. Yeah, they weren't employed.
Well, yeah. And they ended up having to pay all of it back.
Damn, man. Right, that's a hard balance. I don't know. I think that there's like a portion of time in which everything was so weird, but we're coming out of it now where it's still hard to find employees, but we are finding employees now that actually want to stay and hang out. But you didn't. You were just like, fuck everybody.
It was, well, yeah. So like, we started having like some serious issues in like 2021, kind of got it cleared up. And then like last summer just was like absolute ridiculousness. How like, you know, 30% on average loss.
Yeah.
Like it's unsustainable.
Right.
And at the end of it, it's like, I finally had like put in enough time, effort, anxiety, gray hairs, to figure out like kind of what was going on, and just that people like really weren't trying or caring.
They just didn't give a shit. And yeah, you had like SOPs and stuff in place. But
yeah, we have, and you've been trained on it. It's like, you know how to do this. You've done it 10,000 times over, but if I'm not here, you don't do it right, because you're just trying to hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just like, I was just done. And I was like, either like I'm done with the farm, or I'm just going to come in for like, you know, just rally and just try and do it myself for a second, figure out everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I went for. I was like, you know, like I can lose money on my own. I don't need to pay people to lose me money. So my dad at first was like, you're insane. This is a bad idea. And then like now with some time and some hindsight, was like, that was probably the best thing you did. Well, because you also have to like understand, like, how do you value yourself? Because if you're allowing people to like be that way by not getting rid of them, or not like disciplining them, or not, you know, having them change.
Yeah.
You're basically saying that you don't like respect and value yourself.
Right.
And that wasn't the case. It's just like, you know, when you're having a lot of problems and you can't figure out where they're coming from.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to know what to do.
For sure. No, you kind of have to like reassess everything. I think that's why I've always been really careful in like the way in which we've hired people. We bring somebody in for a job and we're like kind of overly obnoxious about how they're doing it. And they usually quit. And then we're like, oh, now we figured out what that job should be. And then we put somebody else in that place. It is a little obnoxious and ridiculous, but it really does like.
Well, and they'll call it micromanaging, but it's like, you're not the one paying the bills or needing to make sure that what you do actually produces something that makes the money to pay for you.
Yeah.
Like you are supposed to be generating income that will then pay for your paycheck.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Neither did I, apparently.
Well, that's good you figured it out.
Yeah, so like now it's like me and two part-time people, and we just rock it out super hard. And it's like we've gotten everything pretty streamlined, where it's like that's the thing, is like how do I get the most done the most efficiently in the least amount of time, where we get the results that we need. And like, you don't need as many people for it. Sometimes it's like too many people messes up the team dynamic.
Yeah.
And then like, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen, or somebody's got a bright idea that's not that bright.
Well, and then they just run with it instead of actually trying to like run it by everybody first to suss it out.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Like, let's just put like as many blocks as possible on the Steam shelf with no space. So it's just a 28 5-pound block shelf.
Yeah. I think I've scared everybody sufficiently now. Like if they actually try and do something that isn't normal, they're just fired the next day. Like, don't you fucking dare. Like, shit, dude. It doesn't matter. I had one employee try and put like a fan in the lab to like pull air out. And I was like, dude.
What are you doing?
Why are you doing this? Yeah.
What are you doing? Don't do
that. Yeah. And it was just like this like murderous situation where I was like, we got to figure this out, you know? Well, how do we actually get people to understand that like you can't change one single fucking thing without actually like causing chaos?
That's the John Donahue-ism when I was having some problems. He's like asking me, he's like, well, what do you think it is? Yeah. I told him, and he's like, well, Neil, it's not just one thing, it's everything, and how they all work together. I was like, thanks for an open-ended answer, John, that doesn't tell me anything. He's like, you're welcome.
When was the first time you ever called John or talked to John?
Oh, God, I don't know. Like,
I remember my first conversation with him. I was like, this is wild. He's the only guy who will take me as a consultation, you know?
My first conversation, I was calling to order Spawn. Like, and normally I got Kim.
Yeah.
Kim will not let you talk to John unless it's like dire.
And she's gone now.
She is gone, but yeah. She's coming back, I heard, for a little bit.
Oh, really?
To help him with like the transitional stuff. But yeah, I called him to order spawn. I think this is like back before, like I didn't really buy that much spawn at the beginning because I was like, I had all the culture work background, but didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But like, I think I'd messed something up and I needed some spawn. Norse boar wasn't really much of a thing yet. Yeah. I stumbled on NMC and had been using their bags and they were fine.
Yeah. For a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Alex had that conversation. He asked me if I wanted like 2 pallets of them. I was like, for free? He was like, yeah. I was like, no.
What's Alex using now? He's using
the Cicato. Japanese bags. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I called like early in the morning because like I would get up at like 5:30, run a couple deliveries, go to the brewery, get the mash started, leave, do some more deliveries, come back, like boil the beer. And it was like 6:30 in the morning. I thought I'd leave a message. Who picks up but John? I was like, what are you doing there? He's like, just drinking my coffee. He's like, why are you calling so early? I was like, well, because I'm up. Why'd you pick up? He's like, I don't know.
What time was this?
Like 6:30 in the morning.
Holy shit.
He picked up the phone. We talked for a while.
This was the secret to get a hold of John then.
I guess. It's like when I called Unicorn at like 9 o'clock at night and I ended up talking to Lou for like an hour. Yeah. And he found out I was using John's bags and he sent me like 4,000 bags for free.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. He's like, John Donahue?
Don Donahue? No. No. Oh, dude, it's just like all of the fucking Kung Fu War sounds kick in. It's just like straight up.
It was nuts. Royale. Well, I had no idea what I was like in the middle of either. Yeah, no, that was like the first time I talked to him. He was really nice, like super nice.
Yeah.
I was like, why is Kim hiding you from us?
Well, she was like being protective, I think. You know, and like how people are on the phone and when they get into calls versus like what everybody sees around them when their phone is ringing. Mm. It's like two different things. So I don't know what Kim's like general role was, but all of us at some point need like a Kim. We need that person to just like, please answer the fucking phone.
Yeah, not please me. like be the one step between me and insanity.
Right.
I think you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler still answers my phone calls.
I try, dude, but oh man, it's bad. And it's not that I ignore people. It's that my phone is just not ringing. Like I have to turn the ringer off all day if I'm going to get anything done.
You need a secret phone number.
Secret one. Yeah. Just for you.
Yeah, for me.
It's the like, bat number.
Yeah, it's like when Tyler was like, this is my new phone number. And I called the old one still. He's like, that's my personal one. I was like, yeah, it's a Sunday.
Dude, when Adriana, his wife, was pregnant, she had this like freak out moment for some reason and called me like 8 times in a row during a meeting with Tyler because she kept calling his a dead phone.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't picking up. And I was like, hey, Adriana, what number are you calling? She finally figured out it was his old cell phone. Oh my God. But I mean, rightfully so. She's freaked out. Yeah.
I still can't believe he's a dad, though.
He's such a good dad.
I can definitely believe that.
Right?
He's like very mellow.
Yeah, man.
I start calling him dad like 3 months before. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how he liked it.
I think he loved it.
He loved it.
He's gotten to that point where he calls us all antinatalists, you know, because like just because I don't have a kid doesn't make me an anti-child. You know, I'm not like against you having children or whatever. And he's like, nah, you're all antinatalists.
You're like, I'm going to be the fun uncle.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I will get drunk with your kid the first time and you won't know.
Yeah, you'll find out later.
Yeah, way later.
Way later.
Because they're drunk, and I'm like, well, I might as well just catch up to them real fast, and we can go fishing. It's going to be fine.
That's right.
Yeah, sober up on the boat, kid.
Yeah, before you get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
I can't not say that. I don't know. But, I think dadhood has brought him to this stabilization point.
He's a lot more mellow.
Yeah, he needed it.
Yeah. He was getting kind of kooky there for a minute.
Yeah, well, we had a tough time, like, going through all the bag transitions and everything. We changed too many variables, and it was like, okay.
Well, I told him don't do the Milo at first. I was like, don't do Milo.
Sorghum.
Yeah, I was like, don't do it. I was like, Milo sucks. I was like, I've never had more issues than when I tried to use Milo.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's all we use now.
Yeah,
Milo and rye.
once you figure out how to work with it, it's fine. But it's not like Millet where you're like, whoops, I messed it up, but it still worked.
Mm-hmm. You found out some really interesting and cool ways to hydrate that stuff to like its max potential of like 43%, somewhere in there.
I mean, you can put it in an autoclave.
You can do all sorts of shit, man.
There's a lot of things.
Kyle was trying to describe how he does spawn, and I was like, oh, we like kettle cook it. And he's like, yeah, I just run my grain through in water and then...
In a giant bin. Yeah.
And then I bag it. And then I was like, wait, so you're doing it twice? And he's like, no, the autoclave is the kettle too. And I was like, what? I just like couldn't imagine what
when
that looked like.
When he told me that, I tried it in one of my All-Americans. I was like, wow. No. I was like, wow. I mean, I can't do it in an All-American. You can make like 10 pounds at a time. But I tried it. I was like, wow, this really works. So yeah, I was like, huh. Yeah. Okay. And that was a Brooks thing from days. Yeah.
Man, Brooks came tied in with so many different interesting, like, he had a different learning algorithm in his brain, you know?
He's a different algorithm.
I think he's hard to probably work with, and he wants to fly away and run and then come
back.
Go to Jamaica. Now he's back. Now he's full on in California.
Good. I got to call him again. I talked to him in Jamaica where I was like, are you okay? He's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, because the same thing happened. Like the same exact thing happened that always happens with fucking John Holiday. I don't know, man.
Lots of empty promises and an autoclave that's been at like 10 different farms.
Yeah. And I ran out of money already. I'm sorry. That's it. It's gone. Yeah. It's kind of fucking lame, but... I think those like rogue cowboy characters always have their sidekick that has far more like knowledge than they actually anticipate. So John gets something out of like working with Brooks as much as he gets. So we all need a Brooks.
We do.
Yeah.
I mean, Brooks is like definitely nutty, but like he is full of information and he remembers the most obscure shit. Like, I was talking to him about something and like his response to it, I was like, I never thought about it that way. Also, how did you learn this? And he was like, this one time at this thing and blah, blah. I was like,
yeah,
I'm lost, but I understand what you're saying.
Right. I get it. Yeah. He definitely gravitated towards this weird information pool. And I actually didn't ask Kyle, like, who came up with the fucking upside down ball jar for like the liquid slurries or whatever the fuck you want to call
them. Oh, that's a Brooksism.
That is a Brooksism? Because he was saying that was from Aloha, but
it's from Aloha, Brooks. So Brooks was using it on a number of different cultures to like kind of speed things up or change things out.
Yeah.
Lab does not work with shiitake, by the way.
Oh, no, for sure not.
Not at all.
Yeah. But it works great going directly to sub with like the chestnut and the menko and stuff.
I thought about it for like some other cultures, but never really got into it because it's like,
yeah,
I don't have the time. Nor do I have, like, it'd have to be extra blocks that if they fail, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, Brooks brought that in. And they were using it for a while, but after he took off, they went back to, like, the old way with just, like, you know, like, little pieces of auger. Which, like, you know what? The thing with it is, like, everything can be done exactly the same way.
Yeah.
You teach somebody one process for everything. Yeah. And, like, I understand that because it's, like, you need to streamline it because you don't want to be, like, oh, yeah, we do this for the oysters. Oh, and we do double that for, like, I don't know, the lion's mane and into the little, you know, emulsified plate thing. It's like, just make it easy.
Just make it one step. Yeah, the artisanal aspect can be applied to grain making to a degree, but like not to a crazy degree. Otherwise, you're gonna go nuts with it, you know. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like you've been abandoned when everybody walks away? You're like, what the fuck?
And where's he going? Is he gonna go pee?
Probably. Yeah. I like it. We're alone.
He'd
here
be
now.
In the backyard too. I mean.
Yeah, he might. Who knows?
Yeah,
I just pee outside everywhere I go.
The world is my urinal.
The world is your urinal.
Yeah.
So do you think you want to take this to a different level now? Obviously, we've seen like what you're up to, but with a clave, are you just trying to streamline stuff?
I'm just trying to streamline and automate.
What
I'd like to do is like, I mean, like, if you just, like, look at the numbers of everything, especially if you start going down, like, the wholesaler route and stuff, it's, like, it's a different ballgame. And we've been selling to wholesalers for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not the right person to put at the farmer's market.
As am I not.
Yeah. And, like, I don't want to spend like the one of like 2 days that I might have some free time.
Yeah.
Dancing like a monkey for people who don't want to pay for the product. They just want to take pictures and
yeah. Look at my lines, man.
Like, oh my God, is that cauliflower? It's like, no, dude, this is a mushroom stand. Why would we have just one cauliflower?
Right.
And restaurants, like ever since the pandemic, restaurants are like a thing where it's like, you know, the ones that like you want to continue working with.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that close that you wish hadn't. And then, you know, the ones that are just financially not at a place yet to even consider like local food.
He did the roundabout perspective where it's like, you don't know what you had until it's gone for restaurants, especially, you know.
I had restaurant groups where it was like two groups in Portland, been there a long time, 5 to 6 restaurants apiece.
Yeah.
Treated them like wholesalers where I was like, if you guys all order together and then figure it out because you have one kitchen that distributes to everybody,
yeah,
I'll give you wholesaler pricing.
Right.
And it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they're all gone.
Yeah. And they don't work that way anymore?
They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no restaurant groups like that anymore.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, they closed.
Yeah.
It's all due to stuff with the pandemic.
Yeah, makes sense.
Which kind of sucked because like, I had like all these hoity-toity restaurants that I didn't know were like very high-end and stuff because I wasn't that like...
Yeah, you weren't cued into it.
No, until I started working with them and people were like... You work with this place? I was like, yeah, like they're like super nice. Like sometimes like I eat with them and like have drinks and stuff. They're like, they talk to you?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I bring them mushrooms. They're like really nice. Their food's great. Like then you start Google searching stuff and you're like, oh wait.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Like the next time you see me, like, hello,
Chef
sir.
Ramsey. Yeah. Oh, hi, Chef. Oh God.
Yeah. We, Chef.
Just like I learned French just to sell you mushrooms.
No, dude, it was kind of nuts. Well, I mean, like, you know, it was like Wild West. Like I was also young and dumb and just fucking sent it too.
You're dude,
like,
but that's how you get in. You learn that some people don't like you because of the way you entered their kitchen or whatever, but you fuck them, you know? And then years later, you end up selling to them anyways, you know? So I've seen so many roundabout ways that people get into kitchens too. And everybody's very like particular and they think that's also their competitive edge. And you're like, no, dude, your product is the competitive edge.
It's product and then word of mouth. Like, can't believe how many times it's like I sold to this one place and then somebody else finds out that you're selling to that chef or to that place where they work there and they go to another place. They're like, your guys' shit is shit.
Yeah.
Bring this guy in. Yeah. I come in. I'm like pretty chill about it. I'm like, our price sheet, like,
yeah, this is what we're doing.
This is what we got. Here's some samples. Tell me if you like it. Tell me if you don't. Like, I'll take the feedback either way. And tell me if you don't like it, tell me why not. Because, like, how can I be better if I don't know?
Right.
I mean,
well, no, you have to know. And I think a lot of mushroom farmers are very, like, they think everything they're doing is so special. You're like, you're not special. Nothing you're doing is special. So don't act like it is, but know that, like, the product is valuable. And know that, like, criticism is everything. Like, if you're selling blown-out oysters, as some people you'd like to criticize, then you're not going to fucking sell as many.
By volume.
By volume. Yeah. Wait, they're selling by volume?
Yeah. This box could be anywhere between 7 and 12 pounds. the box is worth this much.
This is a fucking Andrew Colley Reed thing. Calling you out.
That was a whole discussion.
Was it really?
Oh yeah. Where I was like, dude, if I walked into a place and said like, we're gonna sell this by volume, everybody would tell me, bring me the Tennessee smallest
bullshit
thing you ever got. Yeah,
it's because you walk in Tennessee with a gun and a box of mushrooms and you say, this is the opposite of a heist. I'm trading, but just making sure you pay me.
So weird.
I don't know how it works down there. I fucking hate that area. So,
dude, it's like, it's a different world.
Yeah.
And out here, like, the issues that we have, okay, sans Seattle.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you ever talk to Will at Snow Valley or even Alex, Alex's prices are actually, like,
they're actually a little more comparable.
Yeah, they're more on par with what we're doing here. But, like, the Seattle area, the price per pound, it's a bubble. Like, it's San Francisco of the North. Like, and it's because it's so expensive there.
And that's why it's his bubble. There's very few farms that grow there.
I mean, there's two farms at volume that can get into that market that are like in our group of people, and it's Will and Alex. And yeah, I mean, it's just funny because like you know, I couldn't walk in and say, like, I want $20 a pound for oyster or $15 a pound. Like, nobody would ever pay that.
No,
for sure. They would also laugh you out of there. And then they'd put up a picture of, like, if this idiot comes in, tell him no.
Tell him no. It's like the murder mart that I used to live around the corner of just had, like, security cam footage printouts of everybody who wasn't allowed in there. And I was like, how do you know? There's like a fucking, remember this murder march shenanigans? They would just print out people's like picture who like robbed them. That was like hundreds of fucking photos. I was like,
that's a lot of people. They all kind of look similar. That's a fuzzy picture.
Yeah. And you're also just like weird marketing campaign, dude. I don't know. I think Seattle is an interesting bubble in that way. I like it there. I could never live there. It is very weird.
It's too weird. It's fun to visit.
It is really fun to visit.
But I wouldn't live there. And now that Amazon bought all of the buildings that could be turned into like reasonable like apartments and stuff.
And they're just cloning Peter Drake. They're just like, oh, we're going to make more Peter Drakes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Dude, I don't know what's going on up there.
I have no idea, dude. I don't know. It's it's strange. I don't know how I feel about it in general, but I think that the way the West Coast is operating is much different than the East Coast. Kyle is like the more approachable KSS, you know.
Maybe a little bit more on top of like what's going on.
Way more on top. I didn't mean that in terms of like personalities or anything like that. I mean like scale. Like it's interesting to look at the scales of who's doing what and where. And there's not that many giant farms over here that aren't all the way down south.
Well, and what's interesting, so like I've been to a couple like larger, older mushroom farms from Oregon where like you could call them, nobody will answer. Like if you show up, you'll get shot type thing.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see how they did it. Yeah. Their scale was like not much beyond like my size.
Yeah.
But they were doing it for 30 years and they like head weighed, you know, something like maitake, shiitake, whatever. Like, you know, they grew the best shiitake. Like there's a guy who just retired. Yeah. Hands down, he grew 3-2-1. Somehow got a pound per block. Best shiitake I've ever seen in my life.
I figured it out.
Dude, I bought 200 pounds of babies off of him because our wholesaler said that they like wouldn't take it. So I called him, bought it from him, gave me a great deal because like he was like nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
We just sold it at farmer's market because like nobody cares.
Right.
And I didn't sell as much as I thought the first week. The next week I looked at it, it looked like I had never even touched it. It was like 3 weeks it looked the same as the day I bought it.
Jesus.
I don't know how I did it.
Those are his shiitakes just coming off of, it was at 321, and what was the other one that they had? Was
that another there's like 65 or 56.
65, yeah, something like that. No, I tried both of them and got nothing.
321 was good. We grew it for a while. Yeah? Like, the quality was, like, otherworldly, but, like, the yield was, I don't know how, the yield was bad.
Yeah.
We were, like, for all this effort and waiting 12 to 14 weeks.
Something about our incubation caused, John used to call Magna and Casper strains, or not theirs, but the Japanese 3782, 3790 hot strains, but his buckled like a motherfucker. They were crazy. Like the metabolic happenings in there and their fucking crazy shiitake juice was just too much.
Well, and the aromas that came off of them were very interesting.
They were fucking weird.
Each one's very distinct.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, I remember there was one that we did that we had to stop growing. I don't remember what strain it was, but like maybe it was 82 because too many people were like, I cannot smell this.
Yeah.
It just smelled weird.
82 does kind of smell weird. Yeah. Well, I think that's the difference between like just warmer weather varieties and, you know, colder weather.
82. Yeah. Let's just give this thing a haircut for 30 minutes. And, oh, cool. I got a pound. Oh, God. It was just... It grows. The quality of the mushrooms is fine.
You're beyond fucking shiitake now, though. You got KOM you don't care about.
Dude, KOM's the shit. It is literally the shit. Like cold weather, warm weather, too dry, too wet, not enough light. It doesn't matter. It just grows mushrooms. Like, somebody like made the entire set too wet and the bottom half of the block is just slogged rotted out off with slog. Yeah. The top half somehow... buckled brown and is growing mushrooms now. So, like, dude, you like.
It's positive human versus super negative human. It's just like shiitakes are little bitches. KOM came out of fucking goddamn left field to be able to do stuff like that.
Well, I remember, like, Tyler, we were talking about Sam for some reason, and Tyler was like, oh, I got the shiitake strain from him.
Yeah.
I've been on the phone with Corey. Corey told me about how they grow shiitake for their, like, for their extracts or whatever, and how it'll grow fruits on straight 100% oats, which, by the way, it will grow fruits, like, actually, like, pretty decent quality ones.
Yeah.
And Tyler was, like, not going to send it to me. And I was like, Tyler.
What?
Well, because really? He'd just gotten it in. He had, like, done nothing.
Oh, yeah, we hadn't done any plate work or anything.
Yeah, nothing. Like, literally nothing. And I was just like, Tyler, just harass him. I just harassed him. I was like, just, like, send me a plate. He's like, no. I was like, make me 2 G1s. He's like, okay, fine. I'll do it this week.
Right.
And he sends it over. And, like, you know, like, 2 months later, I start sending you guys pictures. I was like, this is it. This is the white whale. We all thought it was JC. This is it. Yeah. It's fucking easy.
I forgot about JC.
Yeah, we all want to. I mean, you're like, you can grow it on soy holes. Fuck that, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we did for a little while. It was weird. I'm so happy to be done with growing shiitakes. I don't know. Outsourcing and making that work was way smarter than anything I've ever done.
It's a lot of space, a lot of time, a lot of cooling.
I want nothing to do with it anymore. It's just like I'm not into it whatsoever. So,
like, I hate to say it, but, like, I feel like the direction I'm going is, like, all the old farmers, where it's like you either grow one thing or two things, and it'd be just like shiitake or like maitake, and that's like, or both, and that's it. Because, like, people don't want to buy this week, cool, I'll sell them the same shit next week because it looks exactly the same, has the same quality, and it's good.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's good to simplify a little bit, and I think, like, even if I look at what Kyle's doing, he's pretty simple in terms of the bulk production he does. It's not like 100 fucking species, you know. He's got a handful that he does like a lot of, you know.
Yeah, it's like oyster.
Yeah,
3790.
Yeah,
he didn't show you his maitake.
I'm kind of pissed about that. I didn't even, dude. You're so overwhelmed down there. You're like, what?
Well, that's
happening
at San Martin too. So.
Oh yeah. So I don't know that they were growing them at that time.
No, they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
You went in every fucking room, dude.
No, they're growing them.
Yeah, you think so?
I know so.
I think we missed out.
Yeah, he just skipped over probably because of that secret that Chris knows about.
Oh, the black bag secret? Yeah. I like how you're trying to like create a black bag secret.
No,
it's like, just, well, you started talking to the wrong fucking people at Myco Wizards. Shit.
I mean, the thing is it does grow on black bags, but like,
right.
It's got its positives and its negatives.
Yeah.
And also black bags are more expensive. So you get basically comparable yields. Why are you gonna do it?
Like, are you trying to warn people?
I mean,
don't do it.
If you can't grow it on a clear bag, don't put it in a black bag.
Oh, that's very true.
That's all I'll say with it.
Why did you go towards the maitake stuff? I don't remember. I remember you like made a video, you and Corey were going back and forth on CMGN, and you were like, I figured it out, bitch.
All right. Okay, so I visited Corey after he had just been to Belgium. He got the 9827 strain.
Right.
But then, like, you know, like, the business dynamics there where, like, it basically sat there for an eternity and nothing happened with it.
Yeah,
and I tried to...
I don't blame Corey. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I tried to get him to, like, give me a culture to take home, but he was like, I can't do that because if it's found out, it would be bad.
Oh, what the fuck,
I was like, Corey, do it. And he wouldn't. So I'm in the Austin airport as I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I think I basically was like wasted the whole time because like I'm
it's
just
Austin.
Yeah, and I'm like eating like brisket and like, you know, like beef ribs, and
you have to chug beer to get your hydration back.
Oh, dude. Like, yeah, I hurt when I got back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I called Tyler in the airport.
Yeah.
I was like, I know you have this. And he's like, I mean, we've like grown a couple of them out. We don't know that much about it. I was like, Tyler, shh. Like I was, you know, putting my finger over his lip through that. I was like, shh, make me some. He's like, no, you know, like, you know, I'm only sending it to like these people. I was like, Tyler, I'll buy 24 of them. I don't care. Make me some. And so he does. And like, it was just like, It took a little while, which I actually like appreciate his apprehension at the time, because like like Tyler tries really hard to do a good job and be thorough about it before you have somebody like me who's forcing you to send me something testing.
You're the best fucking like though, like, and like we've just come to understand that. We're like, oh yeah,
just yeah, but like you're also gonna get all the feedback on it. Like,
fuck yeah, we are. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like Tyler sent me, God, what was that? The Shogun strain.
Yeah.
And I called him. I was like, Tyler, you don't want to hear this, but this strain is like,
yeah,
don't send it to other people. Like, that's basically, dude. We got a couple actually fatty maitakes. Out of 100, two of them grew. The rest of them dried out, turned brown, all this.
Really?
And I grew it on the same mix, split it with 98 and with the Shogun.
We probably got that at a time when Shogun was having like immense issues.
You got it from TR.
No, TR, yeah. I cloned that Shogun.
Don't say that. No, don't say that. I was told it was cloned by TR and sent to you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So no. It would make more sense if it was.
No. Oh, my God. No, I remember culturing it because Dunk was getting importations of maitake directly from them.
Well,
and I just found it in my walk-in cooler and was like, and I threw that on a fucking plate.
So they also run their spawn out really, really far, kind of like what MSL does. Yeah, so I was talking to somebody who was talking to somebody else up in like Canada, and what they know about their, like, because they had been trying to culture it a bunch of times. What they found out is like they run their spawn up to the point where it's basically so tired that like you toss it. But then they autoclave like their spent substrate.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're sending the mushroom out.
Because like, they just fucking hate cryo. They don't know how it works, and they have not figured it out. It's amazing to me what companies haven't figured out, like refrigerator, deep freezer, or even liquid nitrogen. They're terrified of it.
Okay, Doers are great, but like when you live in a place like this, I wouldn't have a doer because there's like 2 months out of the year that I wouldn't be able to get liquid nitrogen.
That's true,
Negative 80s are great.
Yep.
But like if the power goes out, you don't have a backup generator, they're not that great. Dry ice.
Yep.
And I know that little trick.
Yep.
But I'd definitely take a negative 80.
Dude.
On its own backup thing for a backup generator. Because we did that at the yeast lab.
That's what we have. And it's like, it might drop to 79, you know, and that's it. But not really. No. It's even a second.
Oh, no, you can still go to like negative like 50 and it's fine.
Yeah, before you freak out about it. No, it's just how you store it. It's the speed of which you cool it. It's all these interesting. Yeah. There's lots of fucking like ins and outs to that stuff, but I don't know why the bigger guys are so apprehensive to do that.
Well, because
I guess then, I don't care.
Yeah, it's the perpetuity of the strain will be the same forever.
Yeah, right. I'll just let Amir continue buying the cultures from CaptainStem.com.
Thanks, Amir.
Kyle's like, oh, no shit. And I was like, right.
Alchemy
shenanigans. Yeah.
Look, as long as they don't get upset that you have 3015, you know.
Nah, dude. Yeah, well, I changed the fucking name on the website after that because I was paranoid as balls.
I would be.
Yeah, I was scared. Cheers, too.
Yeah, I mean, so long and short of it is like, I don't know. Once you've been doing this like long enough, I think like you get it. It's like you don't want to. I've grown like every mushroom that we can grow except for Sporacis, because I let the spawn sit in there and it was like mush by the time I actually got to
it. Did we send you Sporacis?
I asked Tyler, I was like, when you bring some back up, just like shoot me a text, let me know, I'll take some.
Yeah, I want to work on Sporacis and all the Tremella stuff is very interesting to me just because like it's, I don't know.
Well, for me,
we're
it's
all
like
getting bored.
A couple things like for funsies, dude. If you just do the same thing every day, like,
you blow your fucking brains out, man.
Yeah. We were just doing oyster shiitake.
Don't blow your
maitake.
Brains out, whatever you do.
Yeah, she knows though. It's like I slowly brought other things back in. I refused to do lion's mane for a long time. I refused to do chestnut, and then it was like, you know, we need stuff for retail through the co-op we started,
right?
And like, don't go away, Rainier.
Don't swim away.
But like, we just ran a set of like Pia Pino. I know the yield's going to be schmeh and like whatever, and no chef wants it because they don't know what it is apparently.
Yeah,
but they're delicious. Right. They're going to sell retail, and anything else we can eat them because they're way better than chestnut.
Yeah,
but no, it's like you got to grow some other stuff and test things out because otherwise, like, wasn't the whole point to like discover and learn stuff? because we're all ADD. And
right.
Like, that's the fun part.
That's why I've almost lost interest in mushrooms a few times now, because I am far too fucking like, what's over there? You know, I'm like, wow, now I'm really interested in this like weird bearing for some reason for other applications.
Why do you think I was just like, Tyler, send me this 9827. Do it. And I don't even know why I got into it. I think it was just like the challenge.
Yeah, because nobody was doing it. Who was doing it before you?
Who? Yeah, who? I went to the people who were doing the majority of the maitake going to my wholesalers. Yeah. They were tired.
Right.
They ran 494, and I've never seen better 494.
Oh, yeah.
I could not replicate it.
Now, once you figure a strain out, you don't fucking move from it. That's the thing.
I mean, you've done
it. Yeah, yeah. You're like, now you can fuck with it and it still fucking yields great. You
know? Yeah, like.
You're fucking carving X's.
And it works. I told Kyle about that. He was like, no fucking
way. Did you send him pictures?
Yeah, dude. I sent him all the pictures of like, you know, the X's and the black bags. Apparently.
It's like a fucking joke. It's like you super glued him on there. It's just like not. I didn't walk in there expecting
so
that.
So he took that culture to the Japanese Research Institute and all of the pictures I sent him. No. They literally, like, a month later were like, can you send us more data from this person? I was like, Japan knows who I am.
Japan knows who I am.
I'm like, maybe they'll invite me over.
Maybe they'll invite me to Japan. We're already planning a Japan trip.
Just tell me when. Yeah, I'll fly in.
Oh, dude.
I'll fly. We'll go to Shiro, though. We got to go. Yeah, I want the most expensive, best sushi ever.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. We should do that.
I want a weird suit made in Kathmandu or some shit, too.
Oh, there are ducks right there.
Oh,
so the white one is Waddles.
Oh, what's Waddles?
And the other one, the gray one, the Indian runner, that's Professor Quacknuts.
The little guy's Quacknuts?
Yeah, he's because he looks like he's wearing a suit.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he's the professor.
Fucking makes sense, man.
So we didn't see him on Friday, and we used to have this goose named Gary, and Gary went missing one night on the new moon.
Gary seemed to go missing on new moons.
Yeah. On new moons. But like it was like when, like Casey, who works here, he was like really upset about it. And then on Friday, like normally we're working outside, and they'll come over because they're like, if you're in the barn, there's like weed meds and stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't see him, and he was like really somber. He was like, maybe it's their time. I was like, nah, dude, they're probably over at the pond over there because they like vacation there on the weekend.
Yeah, dude, they're over there roasting fucking duck bones. They're like, this is a good day.
Yeah, they chill over there, and then, like, the second the mixer turns on, out of nowhere, they just sit there. They're like, wheat mid pellets.
It's like all the pit bulls at Cap and Stem just, like, wait for pellets to drop. And they're just like, ugh, they're, like, stuffing them in. They're like, oh, my God.
I used to let Brio out with us, but, like, he ate so many soy hole pellets at one point that, he literally, like, I had to feed him, like, castor oil.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so happy, but he wouldn't stop.
He wouldn't stop eating them. Oh, my God, dude.
That's it was nuts. Great.
You still have all this leftover stuff from winery shenanigans, huh?
Oh, from the brewing times? Yeah, I got a whole homebrew. Like, we can do 10 gallons at a go.
Does any of that stuff interest you anymore? Or is it just kind of like,
Kiara gets on me because, like, we buy a lot of beer and I can brew it.
Yeah. You can't brew Rainier, can you?
Yeah, dude, I can brew lager. That was, like, my specialty was brewing lagers. Like, good ones.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you know, brew 10 gallons of beer is an 8-hour day.
Right.
This is, like, taking up a lot of my time. Yeah. And, like, it doesn't interest me to spend a whole day working. It's like...
Just drink more.
Yeah, maybe, like... Cheap. Yeah, at some point, like... But, like, it's not as fun. Like, I did it professionally. It's, like, it's not as fun.
Right. Yeah.
It's, like, how I wouldn't, like, grow mushroom kits at home if I didn't have this farm, you know?
You're not going to just put them on your countertop?
Yeah. I'm going to... Wait, what's that? What's that one? What's the new one where it's a little square with the light above it and they take mushrooms from the store, like the beach mushrooms, cut a hole into the yellow oyster kit and stuff it in.
Yeah. Oh, you couldn't see that from a mile away. Yeah. Oh, right, truly.
Yeah, I would do that one.
Right. You do that one.
Yeah, buy the mushrooms from the store, make it look good.
Kyle was saying he brought one of those like $3 fucking like boxes from China and was just fruiting and stuff at the Colorado Expo. And he thought it was so funny. He was like, oh my God, people are buying these like $400, $500 like stupid mellows. Why?
Because I don't know. And the marketing's towards that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. And I think people really like the idea of this like small hold territory where they're like, yeah, that, you know, I don't get it.
Fucking over it. I just think it's weird.
Not blaming small hold, but small hold definitely put this thing out into the world where they were like, this is cool and popular. And you're like, not, it's like not, it's not approachable for a small grower. Just put a block on your fucking counter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we sold a lot of blocks during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
Oh, one of those just shut off.
Customer service. That's not my forte.
Yeah, customer service is rough.
I need an Amanda for that.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, that's great.
I don't know where we were before.
Yeah, fuck it.
Because the rain dogs have been. They're slapping.
Tell me about your youth. How did you grow up?
We're going to skip that part of my life.
Let's talk about your mom issues. No. I don't know.
No, my mom's great. I just hired her to start doing my paperwork.
Oh, actually, you told me this.
Yeah, she's doing my OSHA stuff. She's going through GAP right now.
It was made to be a joke, and it's not.
No, she's going through GAP. We're looking at organic, which I need to talk to you, and also Kyle. Well, once I figured out a couple of things and said it directly, people started answering things the way that I was kind of understanding.
You just need to know the lingo.
Yeah, that was kind of it.
Inputs, baby.
Inputs. Yeah, so she's helping with like that stuff because she's like very organized in that way.
Yeah,
she did like OSHA stuff at my dad's office.
What's your dad do?
My dad is retired, but he was an endodontist, and then he worked at OHSU teaching for like a number of years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, she did all of like the OSHA stuff there. So she came out here and basically she was like, "I'm doing this for you." Specifically because, like, you can't die or get hurt. But also, making it safe for you is making it safe for everybody else. Like, I understand it's a farm, and you guys are in this weird territory.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it doesn't matter, apparently, until something bad happens.
Yeah.
And she's like, how about let's, like, go with safety first so something bad never happens. And it was a pretty, like, good paradigm shift for me, too. Because, like, you know, I was doing it by myself forever.
Dude, and you can just kind of let it go and you don't really know what's going to happen, you know? It's like, it's kind of terrifying, like, on some level. You don't know how dumb an employee is going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of dumb stuff, and, like, I don't train people on tractors now.
No.
Unless, like, I trust that you're going to be good.
We had some forklift guy come by, and he was like, man, you ever think about all the squashed heads? All good? All the squashed heads on forklifts?
Is it getting too hot for them?
No, I was thinking about dropping the shade down, just past your heads, and maybe like counteract the black light.
Yeah, yeah,
let's do that. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, go for it.
Just do it.
I don't know. I'm fucking.
Do it and get it done, and realize like we're still recording.
So that we can get you.
Do it. Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah.
I want to be able to get you on film too. You know.
Right. It's the secret side.
It's not the Mike Vance show. I'm just a perfectionist.
I don't know. From what I see on Instagram, it kind of is.
Well, it is the Mike Graham show.
Instagram, and I try to keep myself out of it.
Except he tags himself.
He tags himself. So he's just like stealing shit. Yeah.
To my own account because this is not going to be the last thing I do.
Right. So you just fucked up the rest of the lenses too. Know that.
Don't say that.
Oh no, I know it.
It won't be the last thing. You'll be back here. You just wait.
We're going back to the goddamn Zoom thing after this one.
Oh god.
They're the ISO. Most disjointed interview ever.
I know, yes.
No bueno.
You know what?
Does that work?
I'll say with all things like mushroom farm related, are we like recording or not?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, sure. It's like, I don't know, 2020 was really weird. 2021 was extremely weird, and 2022 was like kind of just like that low point of just morale and whatever.
Yeah.
And anybody who's like been through it and has gotten to hear, it's like, I don't think we're like seeing the light, but I think we're like seeing what our new trajectory is. And it has been really, really shitty for a lot of people. And
For a long time.
And it's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we've seen these like strange ups and downs. And like, I think all of us have lost more sleep than we should have ever lost in like a lifetime in the last 3 years.
I have a lot more gray hair than I had.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Mine's like right here. I got a couple here, but I try and keep it short. So people still think I'm young, except I don't get carded anymore, which is sad.
Oh, dude, I love when I get carded. Oh, yeah. Well, that's always the trick, right? Yeah. The spring of lady, you will get carded and feel a lot younger. You know, it's good.
Well, so I guess my game plan in 2020 before, like, well, 2019 leading to 2020 was, like, we're working with some wholesalers. We had these, like, epic, you know, like, accounts for restaurants in Portland. Out here was doing good. I mean, like, do you remember 2019? It was just, like, go, 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 go.
Well, like, it was fucking perfect, dude. We were, like, on it. We were, like, bah, 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 bah,
everybody was. Yeah. And it's, like, what people were getting paid, the cost of goods, like, you could afford to go out to eat, like, leisurely, casually and whatever, yeah, and, like, go have a good time. And then, like, all that just, like, kind of, like, whatever. But, like, my game plan was, like, I'd always, like, I'd done every farmer's market, the winter ones, the summer ones, for, like, 5 years or something.
Yeah.
I was, like, no more farmer's market. Like, yeah. I can't. Well, we ended up doubling down on that. But we also came up with this kooky idea of starting a farmer's-owned cooperative.
Which you did that during 2020, right? Or 2021?
No, it was during 2020, like the beginning of the pandemic. Like, literally, Kiara and I came up with this kooky idea.
Yeah.
And then had a bunch of meetings with all of the farmers around here.
Yeah.
There were four other farms that were probably as, like, either insane or stupid as me.
Just continuing to farm through a pandemic.
Continuing to farm. Well, and everybody, you know, they already planted. Me, it's like, I could, like, we shut down rooms.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, I had employees and I told people I would, like, try and make things work because, like,
yeah,
like the way our size at the time, Oregon didn't require us to pay into unemployment. So I was like, there is no unemployment from us. So, like, I will try and find ways for us to generate revenue so you have a job.
Yeah.
Like, you've been working here.
Yep.
So, yeah, we came up with this, like, crazy idea to start a farmer owned cooperative and, like, you know, any business, it's like you'd, ups and downs and all around. I was the treasurer at one point on the board.
Of your own board. You built the thing.
We have a board.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
I was the president for a period of time. And then we hired Kiara to be the director. Nice. And then, you know, with nepotism, I had to step down.
With nepotism. Yeah.
I've been asked to come back to the board. I'm like, literally, I cannot. Like, in our bylaws, like, I cannot. Right.
It's not legal.
But it's been nuts. Like, we do, like, sales-wise, like, comparable, if not better, to what we used to do at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Through the co-op, building more, like, more sales and, like, more, like, brand loyalty.
Yep.
With, what is it, like, 35 farms or farmer owners?
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 35, yeah.
Wow.
And it started off with five owners of an LLC that then got turned into a cooperative.
Right, right.
And it's pretty crazy because, like, you know, like, when it was, like, board run by other, like, by farmers, like, you know, we're doing our best and whatnot, but, like, it's pretty hard to get a bunch of farmer business owners to like, run a business.
Yeah.
And then, like, we hired Kiara and, like, she just, like, took it to the moon. Like, it felt like, felt like an AMC stock thing, you know?
AMC stock thing. Yeah, but it's killer when it works and the timing makes sense because I remember there being a lot of farmers cooperatives across the country, not for mushrooms at all, but like they started to crop up in like mid-2000s, 2008 era, you know, everybody was having farmers cooperatives, but, and that's just cause they like couldn't sell just what they had.
Yeah.
And all these farms started to realize that they weren't really competition to one another unless they actually worked together. They couldn't even get more sales.
And getting people's heads to wrap around that concept
it's
of like
tough.
Yeah. You grow lettuce, I grow lettuce, but like people want our lettuces for different reasons.
Right. They're buying you. They're buying something that they feel like really interested in and connected to, which is something that's like I always try and point out between like TR and I when we were the only like block people, right? Was like, Jesus, dude, some people hate TR and some people hate me, you know? So it's just like, pick your fucking poison and go, you know?
Or some people owe you guys both money and then...
And then we fucking ban them for life and send them to Hokuto. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I think it's that's a killer model to build on top of, you know, continuing to expand a mushroom farm.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've done farmers markets.
Yeah.
And like, it's great. And I've always felt like a farmer's market's where you start your brand and like build your identity and like get a right. face name recognition and whatnot. But like at some point you kind of have to make room for new people.
Yeah.
And like move on. But like, you still want to be able to like be present within the community, feed the community, continue to farm and like not be like an impediment to like new people coming in because it's like, this is my spot. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, I think just like working together, like that was the big thing for me. Cause like I got here and like nobody else is really mushroom farming here, but everybody yeah. like saw me as competition for like their share of this pie too. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like
yeah, what dude, competition?
Yeah. I don't grow carrots. Hell, I probably couldn't grow carrots. Like I know they're easy, but you know, it's like, the pie only gets bigger if we like figure out how to market ourselves together.
Well, and farmers and growers, especially mushroom growers, suck at marketing for the most part. It's yeah. really hard to sell yourself, you know, and your products if you're just like doing all the work to grow the stuff.
Yeah, my branding and marketing sucks.
Yeah,
it's right. terrible.
Right. But so does so many other farms. If like you don't have some weird art person on your side, you don't fucking have shit, you know?
Are you the weird art person?
There's like
you're yeah, hired.
He's hired.
Yes.
Yeah. He just wants a raise. Yeah. No. No, it's tough. You gotta make the stuff sort of work for you and expand the like way in which people see your product. Every farmer thinks people are just gonna like be like all of a sudden they'll wake up one day and know there's a new farmer in town. And you're like, that's not how it works.
We've experienced that with yeah. with new people. It's yeah. like, no, dude, you literally have to go out.
You got to be a whore.
yeah. You have to be a whore.
Yeah.
Kiara's best description of like doing farmers markets and markets is like being a stripper without the money.
Yeah. It's true.
Though. It's true.
Yeah.
You make more money stripping, dude.
Yes, you can make more money doing a lot of things, but I've tried to like over and over again realize like why everybody is still doing what they're doing in this industry despite scale. And it's the ADD thing, like you're saying. I don't really ascribe to the ADD thing, but it's like fucking it's very okay, much.
You have it too. We all have it.
Yeah, right. You're just kind of stoked on fucking figuring things out every day. And if you're not challenged, then you're just kind of like, eh, I'm
bored. You ever watch Gold Rush Alaska on Discovery Channel?
No.
You're missing out.
Really?
Well, basically, it's like these hoo-ha's up in like Alaska and Canada, like are in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of really big equipment. Everything always breaks all the time, and they got to figure out how to keep running stuff because they already bought a bunch of diesel and yeah. like their equipment's really expensive. And like they're like, "Hey, this really, really intricate part that doesn't exist and I can't get shipped here until oh, I don't know, the end of my gold season is broken." And then they're like, they like somehow like. Figure out how to MacGyver like two things that don't work and they're like get back on the gold, and that's what I feel like mushroom farming is.
Because everything much.
Yeah, everything's always breaking at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to know how to deal with it.
You do.
Or like stay ahead of it.
Yeah. Or, like, have being, redundancy. At certain scales when you start like generating any form of income, you just get redundancy. It's like
that's what Kiara's been telling me redundancy. This whole time. Have a second.
Why are thing. You not in this interview? Let's kick him the fuck out. And like, no. No, it's important though. And like, you've got the balance in the relationship to do that. And like, that's what a business partner really has done for me, anyways. Is like, if it's a right connection, right partner, you kind of refer to one another and defer. And you're like, well, dude, we need this right now. You know?
Yeah, I'm the we need this right now. And then.
How do we get it?
How do we, that is always the question is how do we get it? Or like, what is the best way of doing this? Cause like, mm-hmm. I like, you know, when you start a business, you don't realize how expensive businesses are.
Oh my God.
It's like, when you look at like gross sales and stuff, you're like, wow, that was a lot of money. But when you see how much is coming in, how much goes out, it's like,
yeah.
until you like start doing that side of a business,
you don't know.
You have no idea. And it's like, doubling your capacity
yeah.
doesn't mean that it doubles like what things cost. It's exponential.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you got to find ways to like make the money make sense, or find a way to make it more efficient.
Yeah, for sure.
Like get a 10-pound auto bagger.
That's how you do it, dude. I still like we're the only ones who have that. We're the first one, first and only, basically.
Kyle called me when you talked to him. And he's like, I think they're crazy. I was like, we're just crazy enough.
We're just
he's
crazy
like,
enough.
The Japanese people kept being like, what do you mean they want it for a 10-pound bag?
Yeah.
He's like, this is what they're asking for.
Just make it.
He was like, they were even more confused than I was. Like, that's yeah. really funny. They kept being like, are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is a lot of money in Japan.
Well, yeah, in general too.
Yeah, and we haven't made the thing work efficiently full time enough because the fender's just jamming, and I don't have any fucking time because I'm hanging out with people like you all around, which is great. But I think that the evolution of using those things is going to become more and more predominant.
I hope so,
dude. It's got you got
the way you started, the way I started, the way everybody else has started with like nagging yeah. and folding. It's like, dude, I am compressing and folding 1,200 blocks in a week.
Yeah, right.
Like, dude, it's
you can't
like,
do that.
No, not when you want to look at longevity and yeah. like and like mushrooms have a set price. It's a commodity. Like, yep. this isn't a finished product that somebody has like then put more input into. It's like yeah. we're all based off of these commodity prices, which comes back to the Chinese logs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle. How have they affected you and your sales at all?
It's different over here. So we get like a lot of like Hokuto Kinoko product. We get a lot of like Korean import Kings.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I realized when I was growing Kings, I can buy Kings from a distributor who oh, yeah. imports them for far less than it even cost me to produce them.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, it's not worth it.
Nope.
Flies
always love the guest. Yeah. So I guess.
And then we get, you know, Gourmet Mushrooms Inc., Mycopia, yeah. like yeah. a lot of that stuff. You know, Gourmet, it's like you can't fight that because like they're like just north of Kyle.
Yeah.
Hokuto stuff, it's good. There's a lot of it. You know, most of it's beach mushroom.
Yeah.
There's some maitakes and stuff, but like.
Well, those two companies are pushed towards bottle yields, and I'm sure that, except for obviously like, I don't know if Hokuto does any bag production whatsoever. I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
So they're stuck to like what makes sense and yields the most, but they're also being informed, like Kyle pointed out, by Japan in particular. They've all come down to this, like, we just grow shimeji because that's all we can sell now. Everything else is blown up and we've reached the top.
Well, nobody is growing shimejis here or growing them well. I mean, I grew a bunch of them and they're great, but like...
Nobody fucking wants them though.
It's like, nobody wants them unless they come in a little cellophane pack.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense. And like, it's the same mushroom.
Yeah, they don't get it. It's weird. It's the sales is like totally different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoy the like banter that I don't really participate in on CMGN anymore, where Kyle will just like crop in and be like, you know, he'll just say something funny like...
But it goes over so many people's heads.
Yeah, but a lot of it's relevant, you know, and a lot of it actually like
makes sense. But it doesn't make sense until you're there.
Right.
And they're like, most people are not there.
That was the reason.
Well, yeah. I feel like the log thing, like they do come into the West Coast, but it's not as like prevalent as the East Coast because you have all like these old places like Phillips and all them that are, I assume, are buying in like
millions. Yeah, massive amounts. I mean, millions is a relative term. You know, I think... That's Kyle's estimate for sure. It's weird to have been down to Kennett now and really like try and gain a grasp on what is happening there because you have like KSS turning back, you know, their autoclaves back on. And then you have a million other companies surrounding them that are offshoots. Just like here, you selling blocks to a few different farms is basically what's happening there, except they're just buying them from China. And that's because the barges and the fucking containers are already there. So they can get them from dirt cheap. And then they just soak them, flip them, turn them.
I'm just surprised that they can, like, inoculate them and put them into a container. And they, like, magically show up and they're not, like, complete trash.
They're not trashed up, right?
Yeah, it makes, like, no sense to me.
It's so fucking weird.
Is it a reefer container? Like, how do they keep the temperature? Yeah. CO2? Like, how do they deal with it?
How do they do it? Yeah. No idea, dude. I think back in the day, like the you could smell definitely. Kyle pointed this out when we were talking. The
Formaldehyde,
yeah. And that's still a factor in all of those things.
It's fine. Just eat the Chinese mushrooms, dude. We'll all be pickled by like 35 to 40.
Just burn diapers. Fuck it, dude.
But you know that gel doesn't burn. So it's at the bottom and it gets heavy after a while.
It does. You got to do something with it.
Yeah, I learned it gets really heavy and you have to chip it up.
And then just eat it like wafers. Jesus wafers. Grody.
The body.
Yeah. The body.
Yeah. I kind of like those wafers, though.
They're great. I tell you the story about how in college, Frankie and I are in art school, and she's like, take a ride with me one day. I was like, okay. And we pull up to this like Jesus supply store, like a church supply store. We walked in. She's like, I would like 500 wafers. And we were like, I was like, where the fuck are we right now? Is this for real?
She's like, I got some brie in the back.
Yeah, dude. So he pulled in and he was like, oh, what church are you with? And she was like, St. Denis. And I was like, since when? In my brain, I was like, what is happening right now? And she just walked out with a bunch of free wafers just lying to this like church supply store. And then she made a bunch of art with it and utilized it for like this crazy 60 millimeter film she was doing where she proceeded to eat like a ton of these wafers Reese's.
I love this.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy, dude. Yeah. There's like, still.
Do you have any mugs or t-shirts, too, while we're here?
What else can we rack up on this fucking bill, please? Yeah.
God, that's ridiculous.
Dude, it was a fucking trip, man. It was funny. But that was the first and only time I've ever seen like wholesale supply of Jesus wafers.
I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know where they came from.
I thought in a clear bag.
Because I would just put it into your hand. I'm like, I'm Jewish.
I remember every time I went to like a church service with her for a funeral or whatever, you know, you like go up and accept it. I'd be like, yeah, I'm hungry as shit. And she'd be like, sit the fuck down. I was like, oh, fuck.
You're like, I only get one?
I'm hungry.
At least I get like the wine is better than what we get as Jews.
Yeah, it's much true. Better. That wine. Oh, they fuck up and give you the grape juice by accident. And you're like, God damn it.
You're like, do I look like a child?
Yeah. Only if you bring her. You're fucked, dude. They'll like, card you.
We're going to need her card. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, you have an oasis now.
Thank you.
Just have to keep building it out. I'm glad I made it out here.
Yeah, dude. I've been telling you to come out here forever. You know, you're like, come up to Billingham. I'm like, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, dude. You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, and it was, right?
It was. I was like, if it was any other, like, time, I would have been like, yeah, but I'm like, I have to be at Thanksgiving.
This also proves I am not in the fucking fresh mushroom game whatsoever.
No.
Because, like, that is a very important distinction. I'm like, what? I don't know. We already figured those Black Warriors out, you know, months ago. So.
Yeah. I got to meet Mark, though. He's not my background anymore. Don't tell him about that.
Oh, I won't let him know. Oh, well, that's necessary. Yeah. But it's important.
Yeah, one time she's like, I can't find my phone. Can I like call it from your phone? And I hadn't told her about that. And like she's like, who is this? I was like, shh, it's fine. That's my lover. I was like, I watched his DVDs that I ordered. Because I didn't pay for like the version I could download because I knew I'd like kill my computer.
Yeah. It's worth it to get the DVDs too. Well, we should talk about that. What? I don't even remember what happened about his whole property when I sent it to you and Corey, I think. And you guys were like scanning through it. And then we had a bunch of disjointed phone calls about buying it. And we were like, we should buy his property.
Well, yeah, we're all like just jazzed up on the fact that it was
for sale. I had not talked to him yet. Nothing. I couldn't even find him.
Well, okay. So it was a text message with nothing other than a Zillow ad. I was like,
that's what it was, right?
And I'm like, I look at where it is. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is Eric sending me? Also, like the time of night here. I was like, is it like 2 a.m. there? Like, is he wasted? How many Bud Lights have you had?
Clearly a lot. I was very single and very like just stuck in my farm. Yeah.
I get it.
Nobody was waiting for me.
But I was like, I see this Zillow ad. I was like, this is really weird. I was like, this is in Washington. So I like maps like how far away it is from here. I was like, okay, that's like really weird. It's like super close to Canada, blah, blah. So I start looking through it. I'm flipping through and like, it's like we've all seen the Let's Grow Mushroom stuff. You know, if you've been on the Shroomery, you've seen pictures with these different spaces, but like without all of the other shit or like somehow his wife in every picture.
Yeah.
Or like shiitakes or whatever, it like wasn't until you get to the picture with the flow hood and then like also in the garage, hill.
Yeah,
and the hillside where you're like, you can see the two doors that are in it or whatever. That I was like, is this what I think it is? Which is why I was like, I gotta call him. And then like, I think you, me, and Corey were on like a three-way phone call and you're like, this is Roger Rabbit's like place. We gotta buy it. And I was like, we'll put in a landing strip. Corey's like, you guys are insane. I was like, come on, Corey. Like,
dude, he was half-assed into it, but he was just tired. We didn't know his full story at the time.
It was nuts.
Corey's going through some shit.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy, though, because I liked your idea. You were like, what if this turns into some fucking crazy retreat for all the weird mushroom growers? And I was like, sounds hippy-dippy as shit and something I'd probably want no part of, but I love the idea of it.
I just wanted a landing strip because like I could just take plane lessons here and fly up there in like an hour. 7-hour drive is a lot for me.
7 hours is a lot. It was only 7 hours from here?
It was only seven.
Damn, dude.
You guys got time.
Yeah, to get up there? We've thought about it. We might force the issue when we're there.
I mean, he owns it still, right? Or
it's complicated. It's fucking complicated. Not the deed to the land, but technically the property. It's like, yeah, you'll hear about it soon.
So I listened to the first one, and it was like pretty intense. Where I was like, whoa, dude. Whoa. Well, first, like, his life story, I was like, this dude's, like, a renegade. And then, like, when you start talking about, like, what happened there.
Yeah.
And just, like, everything in general, it just, like, you know, you're like, wow. Like, you know, this space that you shared with all of us through the internet at this time that the internet was still kind of, like, whatever.
It's a fucking important space.
Yeah. And, like, what happened there and the reason why you're not there and what it means to you.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, like I was getting kind of emotional about it because I'm like knocking up blocks by myself.
Right.
Just like, I was like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, but I get it. It's like you got old school, like townie people that don't want change. And
yeah, they don't want you there.
Well, he definitely is change.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the epitome of change. And he's that type of personality, too, who's so wound up because he's just like us, that is a hard person to have around in those, like, old school scenarios. It's like when myself or any of my, like, motorcycle compadres roll into fucking towns way northern in Maine, everybody's just staring at you, eating their, like, fucking pot pies, like, who the fuck is this?
You're like, you fucked up, dude. You should have gotten the corn dog.
Right. That's all they just want to tell you. You fucked up, but... Yeah. No, but there's this sort of, like, apprehension to, like, do anything but just stare. And it's like, you can tell these people are, like, they're fermented into their own
little chaos. They have to do is say hello.
Right. Like, yeah.
You know how many people, like, I interact with? Like, we're talking about this last night where it's like, you know, there are definitely things on the surface where you realize, like, we don't agree in certain contexts on certain things. But, like, I always try and go with, like, especially with new people, it's like, continue the conversation until you can find some level of commonality, which calms both parties down. And then, like, like you can realize that, like, maybe we don't agree on certain things, but we also don't have to talk about it because there are other things that, like, we have in common and we can just, like, focus on that.
Yeah.
Which I think is important because, like, there's too much, like, separation here. It's like, I'm this. It's like, that's cool, but, like, there's so much more to you.
There is, yeah. I've said it like a ton of times. I don't know if it's on this or anything else podcast wise, but like democracy by definition is just finding common place between two opposing ideas. It's like if you can't find that and agree like upon the common place, then you have nowhere else to go off, you know, and find your actual things you agree upon.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what Steve Earle was talking about last night for way too long at the concert. Dude, you could tell half that show. That was crazy. First of all, Portland's nuts. You can come in, you can get great fucking weird chicken sandwiches at slutty bars, and then Steve Earle's just playing down the road. Like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, you didn't send a picture, so I thought you maybe went for steak bites at the A-Crop.
I know, you were really hoping that. Yeah,
I was.
We were not suited up.
I mean, after Steve Earle, you could have gone to Sassy still.
That's probably true. We went to some other place that has clown paintings everywhere, some shit.
I don't know which one this is. I usually avoid clown paintings. roots. It looked too creepy for me.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, no, you were into it. Don't.
Yeah, he loved it. Yeah.
You're like, this is great.
Dude, above the bar, just like painted naked ladies, and like everybody there kind of looked like just a Portland figure of a Portland figure, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just Fred and Tootie were hanging in there for years on end. I mean,
Portland's a different town than like, you know, when Kiara and I grew up there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's changed a lot. Yeah. But I don't know. Everything that happened in the pandemic and all, like, the, you know.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. Yeah. I think it's, like, getting a little better, hopefully. Yeah. I gotta hope so.
That's good. I hope so, man. Yeah. It's hard to, like, kind of go into those places now and just everything is weird. Nobody knows how to interact. It's, like, it's very strange.
Everybody was nice, and then everybody's gotten mean and selfish. And it's like, I always try and say please and thank you. Literally, because like I know that whoever is across from me who's having to do their job is probably like,
they're fucking
had somebody
toast.
Yell at them today. I just like don't, like, I want you to go home and be like, wow, this one person was nice.
Yeah.
Because like, I get it, dude. Part of the reason I stopped doing the farmer's market, like some old lady called me at 5:30 in the morning about something. I didn't answer, so I was getting ready for the market, and she came down to the market to chew me out how nobody answered the phone at 5:30 in the morning. I went up to the market manager, who's a friend of mine. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to go. I'll pay you whatever.
Wow.
I was like, I don't, like...
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just, I can't do this. Like, that's just like, it's too much, man.
That's crazy. I anybody who gives waitstaff a hard time, they can fuck off and die. Like, I just... I don't understand that. Like, that, nothing is their fucking fault or problem. Like,
the reason
why
waitstaff get the wage they get plus the tips, especially, like, do the West Coast, it's like, they do good. I've heard the stories of the East Coast where it's, like, $3 an hour plus tip.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the reason they get that is because, like, people are not nice.
Yeah.
And, like, you are, like, that boundary between... people with knives.
Yeah. Right.
And not nice, hungry people.
That's very true. You are that boundary. Yeah.
And somehow they can, like, navigate it.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I mean, it's good money for a minute, but, like, it's not the same. It's gambling money, basically. You're like, I'm going to gamble on tonight being a good night, you know?
Until you get the 1 cent fucking tip.
Right.
Where you're like,
right.
These people bought all this food.
Yeah, or the diamond ditchers or whatever the fuck. The worst case scenario is.
We hit that time of the day. It's windy. Yeah, welcome to the wind capital of the West Coast.
Yeah, seriously.
No, we got a ton of wind.
Yeah, but that's cool though, man.
You guys
see
why
you have no sawdust left. It's all gone.
No. I wet it. No, it goes over there.
Do you turn that at all, or do you do anything to it?
No, it's the old stuff on the left. I'm going to use that up, so like... I'll flip the stuff in the front for what we're going to use tomorrow, just to make sure it's, like, aerated.
Yeah.
Kill anything off that's, like, I don't want.
Yep. One of these shut off, Mike. I don't know which one. Yeah. So you'll flip it in.
Yeah, so I'll use the old stuff up first, and then once that side of the bay is open, all the stuff at the front, I'm going to move over.
Yep.
And then I'll work the stuff, like, the back corner a bit, and then, you know, as we work down, we'll just kind of move stuff, like, left and right.
That makes sense. Okay.
Just because, like, really it has to do with space, and that I have to back up with a steam rack, and I have to keep the brush hog on the back, so it's like, if it's too close, then, like, all of a sudden the brush hog gets caught on the sawdust pile, and then I'm kind of stuck, and I've got, like, 1,000 pounds on the front of, like, hot, steamy blocks.
Yeah.
And, like, oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
Well, once we switch to unloading hot and taking it in there, like... You're like, okay, I'll put my hands on real quick. Okay, get it in here. Okay, let go.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, it's all death-defying moves for steaming hot substrate or just, like, really heavy carts. It's terrifying.
Yeah, but you have to, like, maximize the space that you're using, get as much done as you can.
Right.
And, like, hit, like, there's a certain limit that everybody hits on everything where it's like, we can do this for about this long. So we either need another person or less of something.
Yeah,
because like you can see it. It's like people hit a certain point that just doesn't work.
Yeah,
me, it's like the last 200 of 600 bags. But like,
your brain just shuts off.
And you're and my body is like trying to give out. And but like, you know, it's like I've talked to you, I talked to Tyler, and like, you know, about like the ultra pasteurization. It's like you kind of have to get as much as you can in one run, because it's like, do you really want to do this every single day and then do all the cleanup on both ends of it?
Yeah, not when you're small.
Even when you're big, like, it's like, do you want to? No. But if that's like your limitation is like you've got like 6 autoclaves.
Yeah.
And you know, south of San Francisco, and that's just as big as you can do.
Yeah, and then you truly have to go every single fucking day.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Didn't he tell you that they, like, knock out, like, 800 to 900 blocks an hour?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, how do you do that?
Have you watched that lab?
He sent me videos of it, and yeah. I was like, how do they open the bag so precisely with one hand holding the spawn bag with the other hand? I tried to do it.
No way.
Dude. It was mayhem. Yeah. It was mayhem. I was like, can I come down and just like stand in there with flippy floppies and like a Hawaiian shirt? Because they hired somebody and they said closed toed shoes and long pants.
No fucking way.
And they showed up like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just show up like that, tell everybody like I'm really, really good, and then like have them just like hate me. But like, I don't know, dude, like his crews down there are just, it's like, it's a different world.
Oh, yeah. It's a wildly different world. I mean, it's crazy. You watch the 3 people kitty cornered right before the band sealer and just how precise all of them are and how fast and like there's maybe 3 inches of space between every bag in that band sealer. They're just like bam, 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 bam. So they're running the band sealer to its fucking full extent. And that's why he was like, I don't know if I need these crazy ass fucking auto spawning sealers. Because they're not fast enough. He would need like 4 to get that fast. So it's like they're great for smaller farms, though.
I feel like that. You know, I watch a couple of videos. Do you see Japanese John Donahue in any of the videos of the equipment?
No, he's in there.
There's a guy Japanese looks like John Donahue, but Japanese, and then I kept referring to that, and like Kyle's like, "Who are you talking about?" I was like, "The guy in the suit." And he was just like, oh my God, because it all clicked for him.
Yeah, he made it.
But like, I watched the videos and like, no, it's not fast. But like, if you talk about how like, it's kind of like, you know how there's like a fully automated McDonald's, I think in Tennessee or something now?
Yeah, yeah.
There's one person paid like a bunch of money and they just do maintenance and make sure that all the materials.
Make the machines run. Refill the patty stack.
It's the same thing. It's like, maybe it's not as fast as if you had a bunch of people, but like if all you're doing is just making sure that everything's operating correctly and you have the space that's meant for it and you're just like loading the stuff onto racks or whatever, like it makes a lot of sense. Just like,
fuck yeah, it does, man. Why not?
I didn't know he had a bunch of them there.
I didn't see his goddamn maitake, so now I'm pissed.
Yeah, well, you saw the other stuff.
Well, what's interesting about, like, every farm is, yeah, everybody has their, like, secret back 40, you know, and I get that, too. I don't have any interest in, like, pushing it. Like, Ohm specifically, you can't push into the, like, what are they doing for this solid-state fermentation? You're not going to find out. That's fine. You can buy the machine online. It's like, there are a lot of this, like, info is just basically translated directly from China. And they pointed out, too, the products are exactly the same. It's just who are you choosing to support, you know, like... That's what your question mark is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I like the idea of how America is so far away from its mushroom cap that we're able to, pun intended, like keep growing in a lot of different directions. We're not in Japan's sort of situation. We're not in other parts of Asia's situation.
Yeah, and people are like still just catching on. It's like kind of weird. I mean, seeing what happened in the pandemic and then like seeing all these people like crop up, I was like,
yeah,
do you know this is a really bad time to start investing and like building out spaces and whatever? But like they dropped money, dude. Like I got like 2 stainless steel Bubba's barrels and like 2 flow hoods and a bunch of freaking, I'm like, dude, you dropped like $15,000 right off the bat. I'm like,
right,
I'm like, this is nuts.
This is not,
I should have gotten unemployment.
I think most farms felt that way, you know. It's like, fuck, dude.
Plus, the information's out there because all of us idiots just post stuff online.
Yeah, it's true, man.
I stopped answering the same question in the general forum group of spent brewer's grains because I started my farm on spent brewer's grains from the brewery that I.
So everybody's like, oh, yeah.
I'm like, dude, All I learned is pilsners and pale ales. You want to do anything else? Too much sugar, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to grow some stuff and it's not going to be what you want.
Yeah. The idea of those forums just being so unsearchable that, like, you have to really dig for stuff. Like, I don't fucking answer people's questions if I know it's already out there, you know? I don't know. It's a challenge. I do like the idea, and Amanda pointed it out at KM. She's hot shit. She's on to some, like, funny things. And I like her spiral from working at, like, Myco Works and these, like, really fine, apparel companies all the way back to just, like, farming in her backyard. It's kind of interesting. She's, like, totally just, like, wound the wrong direction. But she's like, why does nobody have a map of all the mushroom farms yet? I was like, you're right. It's just that list. It's that, like,
Where you have to, like, tell them, and then, like, 3 months later, they're like, I'm going to update this.
Yeah, dude. It's got to be, like, almost Wikipedia-esque, where you can update your own or something.
Well, there's, like, a ton of farms, but just seeing the direction people are going, because, like, it was all, like, Norse for multiculture farmer's market model, and then, like, you know, like, things have split off, like, people have gone down, like, supply routes, and, or, like me, where I'm, like, I would just do, like, bulk of, like, these varieties and stuff.
Yeah.
And you still have the people who are doing that, and, like, I talked to somebody based in, like, the Portland area, where he's, like, still doing the farmer's market, and, like, he's crushing farmer's markets.
Yep.
But he's like, I don't know how long I can do this. I'm like, your entire business is built around that.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Get out of farmer's markets.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, I knew when I was, like, drinking IPAs out of a salmon head koozie at, like, 10 a.m. that, like, it was
should
time
not
to
be
stop.
There.
Yeah. I'm, like, laughing at people, not with them.
Yeah. That's how you really know.
Dude, it was bad.
I mean, there's going to become more and more farmers markets, but I do think you're one of the few people who's, like, kind of pushed into that idea of a cooperative.
I think it's, like, really important. I mean, like, you know, I'm the only mushroom farm in it. There's a thing forming here of people trying to do a mushroom cooperative.
Really?
But I know about the mushroom cooperative that was formed in the 80s and what happened to it, because I've talked to the people who survived after. After. Let me tell you, it did not work.
No, that's why Alex and fucking, what's his name? Will's thing is, like, terrifying to me in some respects.
Yeah.
I get, like, a buying club or something like that to a degree.
But like a selling club? No, because, like, what if your quality is, like, absolute dog shit and yours is based on my brand and mine is not dog shit?
Right.
Like, why is it that I'm getting this price and you are getting this price? And my name is somehow associated with something that I would never sell.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're getting something that's a far superior product, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I could be growing dog shit. Who knows?
Right. Well, all the sinking ships sink the ship, and all the rising boats, you know, raise the water, so to speak. It's like it's hard to figure out why people lead by example, but they're like, well, fuck it, then I'm just going to try less. Instead of trying harder and, like, sifting it out. That's why I like, you know, capitalism is an interesting trap that we're all kind of stuck in. It's not that bad. You just have to, like, really kind of keep working at it to figure it out actually be entertained by it.
Funny thing is, I'm supposed to talk. The airport's right over there. I'm supposed to talk with somebody about, like, single-use plastic in the mushroom industry and trying to find, like, right. And, like, it's like, yeah, I would love to find an alternative to it. Tell me when you do, because, like all we have right now is bottle culture.
And
there's no equipment set up for anything else. Like, you need to take into account, like, varieties that, like, need light.
Yeah.
Which means that you need a thin thing around it to get the light penetration correctly.
Yeah.
But, like, the real question that it comes down to is, like, if my competitor is using this plastic bag at this rate and it costs them this much over a year, and I buy this other container and my ROI for it is, like, 15 years of their bag usage, what do you think is going to end up happening in a capitalistic environment? You're going to buy the bags because, like, you're literally drowning.
Yeah, the solution is opposite. Like, Kyle pointed out the fact that he goes through fucking one bale of plastic per week, I think.
Yeah.
One bale. That's not that much plastic.
We just need to have ways of recycling it.
Right.
That's the thing, is right. It's not the plastic, it's the recycling.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's nothing wrong with the plastic. It's just the fact that there's no, like, way of getting it dealt with on the back end.
Yeah, exactly. And if there is a way in which you could manufacture some sort of equipment that actually baled and processed or melted or did something to actually get it to a state in which it could be recycled, well, there you go. You solved the fucking problem. There's nothing wrong
with recycling. It's going to cost money.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're looking at, like, the long-term effects on, like, the planet and stuff, like, it makes way more sense.
Yeah, but also paper is just as bad, you know, in these, like, weird arbitrary recycling modes. So it's just trying to come up with alternatives that they make sense for different scales, you know. So
just grow more cottonwood trees, dude. Poplar trees. Grow more 20 years in, you're going to get, like, all the money that's going to go towards, like, grandkids' tuition.
Right.
And then everybody else who did it, and then bam.
It's not like the Polonia surfboard shit where you can mulch the trees you're going to make boards out of with your mulch that came from the boards before and blah, blah, blah. That does happen. It's weird. Hawaii is a crazy place. So is Australia. But no, it's just not that much plastic when it comes down to it. So
no, we just got to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah. I wonder what will happen to the bag industry in particular. That one does rock me a little bit, not knowing. There's like three main bag manufacturers, and they are tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
They're running at full fucking speed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that nobody can like really recognize.
It's kind of scary because it's like
your
buying power has to do with not like how much you spend, but your relationship with the business.
And how willing you are to pay up front for how far.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I have people who hit me up. They're like, "Do you have bags?" I'm like, "No." Like, literally, I cannot help you because I'm buying this much for this period of time specifically. Because, like, this is like what I can pay up front to purchase this.
Like, we tried to help TR out, and I was like, "Oh fuck, no, this isn't gonna work." I was like, "X all bag sales of any kind, just to bail people out." I was like, "We won't actually get bags in time. We're fucked."
You know? No, it doesn't work, and like, it's kind of scary. Like, you know, I was like getting a lot of phone calls, so I called Kyle and asked him what was going on. He's like, "We will not have 10-pound bags for like 2 months."
Yeah.
I was like, "What?" I was like, "Last week you told me like you were pissed you bought a shipping container of them." It's like, "Yeah, dude, I don't know what's going on."
Yeah. It's because nobody had unicorn bags. Everybody had to go to Kyle. It was like the amount of people we sent to Kyle, as did everybody else, because there was no option for unicorn was unreal.
And they're all afraid of polyethylene.
Why?
I don't know. They should do it because the 10-pound bags would polypro planer.
Right. They're dumb, dude. Whatever unicorn has going for him for those mixes makes sense in terms
it's
of
a blend.
Yeah, and that blend is
stretchy
perfect.
And
right. And it doesn't just rip apart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the debagger doesn't work.
Yeah.
That was why I stopped using it. I was like, I put these unicorn bags in. I was like,
yeah.
I don't want to put my arm in there, but it's full of bags.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody need a debagger?
Yeah. Sell it now. I don't know. There's a lot of the plastic conversation that I just don't even want to have with people anymore. I don't know how to have it with people. It's weird. Just like, we create plastic waste.
Every industry has it.
I mean,
that's just what it is.
Right. Well, you're like the dude now who everybody knows because you've poked so many people. And how do you feel about that?
I don't know.
Everybody does know about you. You're mini famous in your own weird way.
It's kind of weird, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just like showed up out of nowhere. Everybody was like the same like rodential fear thing of like, right. Who is this person? Scott was actually the first person other than you to like talk
listen to
me.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But I don't hear from him anymore.
But. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with him in general. I know he cranked production back up after his brother passed away, but
yeah, I mean, every time I call, it's his mom, so like,
yep.
Like, we'll catch up. She's super nice.
Oh, yeah.
But then he never calls me back. So I'm like, I don't know. He's got a baby and stuff.
Yeah, he's just busy with life, right?
But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, we're all around. You know, if you pester people for like the right questions and you have something to share in return, I think that's like the big one. I have a hard time with people who like can't.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy to share information back and forth. If like, you're just coming to me to ask me for information,
right.
I'm like really too busy or just like pay me for consultation to want to do it. And
right,
like,
right.
But like, if you're coming and you have something that is maybe of interest to me in return, yeah. It's like, cool. Yeah. Like I will happily share with you. Cause like, you definitely know something too.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It's like, I always brought something to share. Like, I mean, my background was in like culturing yeast, working with cryo. I did the entire cryo program. Like I did separation of like bacteria, wild yeast, and like traditional yeast, which like you shouldn't have them in the same building, but somehow we got it done.
Yeah.
And like figured out some maitake apparently. And then everybody was upset that I didn't want to share it with them when half the people who were like, you should be sharing this, were like people
not
I like,
shit.
Yeah, wouldn't share anything with me or answer me. I was like, hey, you're being mean, sir.
I just love, like, you can only share experience. Like, you can't, yeah, you could give people your entire recipe and breakdown for how to do it, and they couldn't
do it the same way. It's not the same.
No, it's not, you know, and it depends upon, like, the factors of repetition that go into it, man. It's fucking crazy.
Like, this is like 2.5 years of a lot of fucking up.
Yeah.
And then being like, should I give up? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Like, you know.
Never give up.
Never surrender. Nah. Yeah, whatever. What movie was that? Galaxy Quest?
That was, Mike would know. Galaxy Quest. Yeah.
Galaxy Quest.
I think it's a great thing, man. And it's good to see at your scale because most people are like gunning after the maitake thing. And they don't realize that there's a few people who are doing it really well. And they're like, oh, they can kind of do it. And I'm like, you're not going to get there just with that like non-investigatory sort of state. It's like, call these people up and talk to them.
It's dedication. Like, the thing is, like, you go in, like, you know, if I take off, like, I'm not going to look at it. But you're in there every day.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing how things are going. And then, like, it's taking a lot of time of, like, tweaking recipes, like, water content,
yep.
Cook times, like what does the age of the sawdust do in context to like, do I need like more minerals or less minerals?
Yeah.
And then like, how does incubation affect fruiting? Which like, that's a whole different thing. We could probably spend 4 hours just talking about how important incubation is.
Yeah.
Cause like, I'll talk to people, they're like, do you have fans in incubation? I'm like, you don't. And then when I tell people I humidify my incubation space, they don't understand why. I'm like, well, because I'm pulling water out. If there's no water to pull out, there's nothing to cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing. It's a confined space. I need water in there.
Well, and it's also arid up here compared to some places. Like, we don't have to humidify our incubation. Our incubation is fucking, like, 60 to 70 year-round. Even in the driest parts of winter, it's like... does not get like below.
No, this is pretty dry.
Heat. This is fucking dry.
Yeah.
But everybody goes, oh, okay. So like, you can call somebody from like, you know, Mississippi and tell them what you're doing, and it's not going to apply for them.
No, not at all. So they don't
like,
need to.
Yeah, you need that like teeter totter back and forth of what's going to work best. You know. So it takes time.
It's like the falling off the horse thing. It's like, do you get back on or you walk away?
Yeah.
And like, we had some great success with maitake and then like a lot of issues with it.
What were the biggest issues you had with it?
Oh, dude, like contamination or like yield stuff or like adjusting recipes.
Yep.
Or like people inoculating the wrong thing and it wasn't maitake on the maitake mix. Stuff like that.
You putting know, eggs like, in bags. No.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Putting them in black bags on oyster mix.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of it was like contamination, undersized cooling, not understanding how much humidity that we needed to properly run like our cooling in every space.
True.
And not understanding it. It's just like shiitake, where it like took all of us like a certain period of time to understand that it's like, you need this to get this.
Right.
And then once you hit this, you need that to get the next thing.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, now that I'm here, what do I do next?
Yeah.
And if you do this, then it works. It's the same thing. Like, it tells you what step you're at.
Yeah.
You just have to do it enough times that you can look at it and be like, oh yeah, okay.
I figured it out.
Yeah.
It's dialed in. Well, and I think the Japanese folks have like gone too far with it, because it's funny to hear about some of those stories from Kyle and be like, wow, geez, they really have no fucking clue. Which is why Japan knows who you are.
Yeah, apparently I'm famous in Japan.
Famous in Japan. They have photos of you that are just like in the center of their facilities, you know. You know, you walk into every fucking Asian joint and there's like the owner or Mao is up there.
And then I'm up there too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, I hope so.
Just
dude.
Looking up at Mao, just like, yeah.
They're like, that's the supreme leader.
That's him, dude. No, I'm glad you figured it out. I think it's cool. It's fucking impressive, dude.
Thank
it's
you.
Impressive. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when Tiara was doing really good and talking shit to me and telling me I was like number two. He got really upset because I told him, I was like, TR, I never wanted to be number one. He's like, well, I'm number one. I was like, sure, dude.
Sure.
I was like, but nobody wants to go after number two.
No.
Everybody wants to take down number one. So good luck with that, dude. And he just hangs up on me. Like, I just want to grow well and consistently. He's like, I want to be the best. So I'm like, oh, it's fine, dude. You do you.
Fucking crazy. All right, well, we can talk in circles and we'll continue talking, but we don't have to stay set up and keep Mike going crazy.
Mike, you hungry?
Yeah. Let's eat some food, dude.
Yeah, let's go get some food.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Right. More beers, too.
More beers and food.
More beers, too. Yeah.
What did you think of that episode? If you want more of this Micah wizardry, stay tuned because we are turning up the heat. We are shooting for a release a week on MicahWizards.com and a release a week on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Slinger, Stitcher, Bewitcher, really, you know, wherever the fuck you get your podcast. So be on the lookout for that ear candy because it's coming your way. This podcast is produced and sponsored by Main Cap and Stem. Need cultures, spawn, substrate, equipment, raw materials, consultations? Reach on out to the amazing team of Cap and Stem at www.capnstem.com. If you want to support this podcast, swing on over to MicoWizards.com and become a member of the largest culture bank on the fucking planet. Seriously, our team is focused on bringing you commercial, gourmet, and experimental cultures from around the globe. So become a member of our culture club at MicoWizards.com today. Don't dig the flow hood work? That's okay. Come on in for the videos, the deep dives, the exclusive interviews, and pheno flicks. Yeah, that's what we're calling them. Motion picture flicks focused on the phenotypes we are working with every day. Don't want videos? Don't dig the fungus on dishes? Just want to support this podcast? Well, shit, you can do that too for $5 a month to keep this show on the road. Speaking of the road, I have to send a special thanks to the new and improved and magical and mysterious Micah Wizards team consisting of Mr. Michael Vance, Dr. Daniel Ashley, as well as Tyler Crawford and the Flowhood man, Sir Gregor Jones. Okay, I'm Eric Lohman. Stay weird, my Micah Wizard family, and hopefully we'll see you out there in hyperspace, space, space, space. I like that effect.